Welcome to the Money and Time Machine podcast, where you can learn how to rage against the theft of your financial future by listening to a unique perspective on what's holding you back from a life of more money and more time.
Hello and welcome to the Money and Time Machine podcast. I'm your host, Justin Paul. I said recently I will use my podcast as a highlight reel, denoting the changes we are experiencing in the world today. People in general don't like change, but history has shown me that what people hate even more is what happens when you're not prepared for change. Change sneaks up on you, and when you least expect it, you find yourself ill-prepared for those changes, and the consequences at times can be long-lasting. I, for one, always find it interesting that the signs of the impending changes tend to go largely ignored. They were staring you square in the face, but conventional wisdom dictates that we bide our time and hope for things to, quote-unquote, return to normal. That mentality, that thinking has and will cause more people pain in the past as it has and going into the future. And my next guest has decided that she isn't going to wait for things to get better. She has figured out that as long as she makes changes in her professional life that allows her to continue doing what she's always done, but move with the times, that she'll always stay abreast of the coming changes and continue to stay relevant. So welcome to the Money and Time Machine podcast. My next guest, Wendy Corner. Welcome, Wendy.
Hello, Justin. Thank you very much for that introduction.
My pleasure. Now, look, I've been following you for a little while, so I always had you penciled in as one of my list of people. I think one of the things that people don't often appreciate, podcasts are relatively easy. You can add people to your list and have a chat, but I'm very specific in my genre. So, so the fact that I've been headhunting you for a while and, look, thank you ever so much for agreeing to being on the show. Now, Wendy, for the listeners, you and I have a little bit of a background. We know each other through what was formerly the Build Better Business Network, now referred to as Exceptional Entrepreneurs, hosted by Carmel Murphy and Sarah Lucy Rose. So let's start off with the first question, if you don't mind, Wendy. I can relate to what you do because as long as I've been a professional consultant, I've always worked face-to-face with clients and potential clients. And after decades of doing business the quote-unquote traditional way, because that's just how it was done, I came to realize that if I kept on doing things how they've always been done, I would eventually, at the very least, grow tired of it. I'd lose my enthusiasm because working with people can be draining because you're working with people's energies. And I also realized that even when I was being paid well, there was little to no leverage because I was working one-on-one. But it would take me a few more years before I would have the courage to do something about it. And then, of course, develop some new skills that would allow me to leverage those skills. So my question to you, Wendy, give us a bit of a background as to what it is you do professionally speaking.
Okay. Well, my background from a training perspective is as a speech pathologist. So I worked for the National Health Service in the UK for over 25 years. Before emigrating here to Australia and worked as a speechie here with adults with autism for a few years and then got pushed out of the nest, shall we say. Another of our friends calls herself an accidental entrepreneur.
Yes,
accidental, reluctant, however you wish to describe it. It was not something that was on my horizon. However, here I am. Lapping up the change and jolly well getting on with it. So that's a very long introduction in terms of what I do. I work with people's communication from a holistic perspective. So I work on, we both know a very good friend of ours, Paul Council, and he has one of his favorite pictures is of an iceberg.
Yes.
On the top is what we see. Now, people tend to come to me with a symptom. Something's not right. I'm not getting where I want to in life as far as my communication is concerned. I'm in a corporate situation, primarily women, who are finding they're not being listened to. They're not being heard. We have to dig deeper to find the source of the problem. The other side of my work, which is not a side, it's a different branch of, is my body work, the myofascial release work. When somebody's body is going, ouch.
Yeah.
It's the bod that's telling you something's not working. So again, we have the symptom and I look elsewhere for the sign, but sorry, we look for the symptom, we look elsewhere for the source of the problem. Yes. So I tend to work what I call holistically with communication. So it's the internal stuff. What is the internal language? How am I describing in my thought patterns? What are the words I'm using? Because that will clarify how you experience the world and how you show up to the world. The external communication, how you relate to the world, and that be whether that be with your words, whether that be with your body language, whether that be with your voice, all of that stuff. So that's where the majority of my work comes in. And then also what I've now termed the internal work.
Okay.
Between head and body. Because we have an internet that we go out to the world.
Yes.
We have an intranet where we work within our corporation. Well, we're having an internal conversation here between bod and head. I work holistically around communication.
Oh, that's splendid. Splendid. That's a lot more in depth. Thank you ever so much for that. Now, you know, let's carry on. And you'll know, as most of us, that 2020 was a year almost no one will forget in a hurry because it impacted most everyone. So what I'd like to know, Wendy, is how did it impact you in your capacity to do what you've been doing for so long?
Well, exactly. The face-to-face stuff had to stop.
Yeah.
Particularly in the early days. So I was all about high touch, still am high touch, but it was face to face, whether with an individual or whether with a group situation, that all had to go underground immediately, or rather go online. And obviously the hands-on stuff had to stop for a few weeks as well. Yes. Now, interestingly, that too is developing an online version as well. But that's another story. So, yes, everything had to go online. I still am very much a high-touch person. I still interact with my people very definitely from as much of an individual basis as possible, because we all have that internal dialogue is different. Our bodies are knit together differently. Literally every body is different. So I still maintain that high touch, but it's now more online than it was face-to-face.
Thank you. I've said before, Wendy, change is what change is. It's the meaning that people give to it that determines how change impacts you. So we take Zoom, for example. You and I are doing this conversation over Zoom. Became an overnight ultra success. People adapted out of necessity. What were some of the things that you did to help facilitate the phenomenon known as COVID from a professional standpoint?
Well, obviously, I mean, as far as COVID was concerned, we were doing our best to avoid it rather than facilitate it. But in terms of the online response to it, Zoom did become an overnight success. And if anybody had shares in Zoom, oh boy, I wish I'd been one of them. But having said that, the understanding how tired we get, Zoom fatigue is a very real issue. Particularly if you're going to networking situations and if you have a whole gallery in front of you, then one of the things we are hardwired for is novelty.
Okay.
And so if you've got a whole screen of people and somebody scratches their face, you'll look at that, or somebody moves their head and you'll look at that way, and you're scrolling, you're catching everybody's eye constantly. So 1 hour of Zoom can be as exhausting as maybe 3 or 4 hours in a face-to-face or in a group situation.
Oh, wow.
Because of that constant alert, alert, alert. So if your listeners are finding that of a day of Zoom calls, they're finding themselves more tired than they ever were in a face-to-face, that is why. And there's research to back it up. It's called Zoom fatigue.
Well, smack me down with a feather. I did not know that at all, but a little bit of information there. Absolutely. So it's in one way, it formed a bit of an alternative, a medium of exchange, but also there's the, I guess, whatever is good, there's generally a consequence to that, or some sort of, you know, ramification.
There is such a thing as netiquette now.
Okay. Okay.
So looking at, if for instance, you're on a networking call and you're all on mute and the phone rings, and you turn away to take this call and you don't turn your camera off, it's kind of obvious that you're not present to the group.
Yes.
So you need to remember to turn your camera off. Or if you decide that a call of nature is getting the better of you,
yes,
turn your camera off. Don't just leave the screen.
Yeah, the there's quite a few memes there out there, isn't there?
And if you're somebody who uses their hands to gesture, and you're used to using your gesture, I mean, I'm gesturing now, but you can't see it.
Yes.
So to make your points, you have to gesture up at eye level.
Yes.
Then there's the issue of the camera. Where is the camera in relation to where you're looking? Because if you're sitting up here and you're looking down on people, that doesn't go well. If you're looking, again, we're hardwired for looking at faces. Yes. Now, I've got you sitting immediately underneath my camera. So as I'm looking at you, I'm just under the camera.
But
if I had you, say, on the on a different view, full screen, so you're now, or you could be by the side, and I'm looking at you like that, you can see the difference now, can't you? I'm
absolutely
giving
you
eye contact.
Yes.
So it is, again, it's important to know how you're going to set things up so that you don't look as though you're in the wrong place. So the eye contact issue is something to do. Again, if you're giving webinars, be aware of where you're looking. If you're doing work on your phone, be aware that the camera is up here.
Yes.
Sorry, this is not helping your podcast listeners. Make sure you know where the camera is.
The
camera, not the face that you're looking at on the screen, because, again, you're going to be looking to the side, or you're going to be looking up, down, anywhere except the eye contact with the camera.
Absolutely. No, thank you very much for those tidbits of information. Well, Wendy, you know, when unexpected changes happen, we are presented with opportunities. And those opportunities, however, don't always come packaged in what I refer to as our conventional expectations. So in tough economic times, we need and want money. We have a greater need for job security and certainty. And copywriting and marketing skills, and for the listener, you know, Wendy and I do know each other, were two such opportunities that you were exposed to. And you can be very frank here. How did you come to learn about these skills and what your experiences have been like as you grappled with these concepts, as you sort of transfer from, you know, one-on-one to that online medium?
Absolutely. Well, when COVID hit, I was about to literally sign up three rather good packages of one-to-one work. And people were going, oh, I don't know, I've got a business. And they pulled out straight away.
Okay.
So I can absolutely relate to this, this scare thought, this fear thought of, have I still got a business? Therefore, I'm not going to invest in myself. And over the middle part of the year, when things were pretty tough, actually, and I'll be honest, mentally, I took a bit of a dive. That was the time when I went into myself a bit and said, okay, well, I can either wallow here or I can upskill. I can learn a couple of new things. What can I add in? And as you say, the now exceptional entrepreneur group, Carmel was offering two weekends over that time with Paul Council, looking at copywriting skills and looking at video marketing skills. So I jumped at the opportunity of both of those and learnt about new skills. Now, copywriting had always been something that somebody else did. Video marketing was always something that somebody else did. That wasn't in my skill set. Don't let them get on with it. That's not me. And to a certain extent, that's still the case. Having said that, though, the copywriting, the formats, the outlines, the templates, if you will, those have filtered into what I do. Seeing much more of a structure in my output, my copy, has really been helpful. Have I done much with the video marketing? Honestly, no. And the webinar that again, we're pushing this in a time slot here because this is something that happened this last week.
Yes.
It was a reminder of using those skills. The quick marketing videos that use other people's videos is not really where I'm at because of what I'm doing in terms of communication, and I am the face of what I'm doing.
Yes.
It really does need to be me.
Yeah.
So, but having said that, the structure behind things, looking at the copy, looking at the way you structure either the written word or the video stuff, absolutely has been invaluable.
Absolutely. And you mentioned, and look, thank you very much for being frank, because I speak to a lot of professional and semi-professional people, and having to make the transition is not as simple as creating a website. Website is just an address, you know, in a world with millions of websites, I'm sure. And so it's also now a question of developing skills where, as you say, and I'm glad you mentioned it, you know, you are the face of your business. Mm-hmm. So the only one that's going to be, how should we say, pushing your business, pushing your agenda, is going to be you. Mm. And I agree. I got into the online side of things in 2015 when I was very green behind the ears, and to the point where it literally scared me for a number of years. So I was somewhat reticent. I did a lot of things, but nothing really sort of sunk in. But that's also part of the process, isn't it? Because you've got to take on a lot of information, a lot of which you don't have much of a reference for.
Yes.
But at some point, the penny drops. Ah, I remember this thing that I did 8 months ago or a year. I can see how that fits in. Oh, now I'm, you know, I don't feel so silly after all. And then it's just a process of osmosis, isn't it? And that's something that I share with everybody that I come across. That, look, when people appear to be really good at something, just understand they didn't wake up like that.
Right, exactly.
You know, yes. And we also, I'm a professional this, I'm a professional that. That's great. It took you years, decades, multiple decades to get to that level. So now all of a sudden when we try something else, I think those feelings of incompetence come up. You know, a fakery, am I pretending, the imposter syndrome? No, you're just learning something that you've never done before, you know?
Right.
Absolutely. So, and I'm so glad that you've shared that, because I go through this process where maybe once a year, I literally feel like I'm imploding.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, what am I doing? Who am I kidding? Podcasting? Now this is episode 67. Okay. You know, you get there over time.
And
I couldn't see past episode one when I first started, let alone 10. So, and I think if you are listening, it is so critical to not be judgmental of yourself when you're doing something that you've never done, because it took you years to be good at what you do traditionally or conventionally. And it's going to take you, you know, maybe not as long, but it will take you the time. It's the exact same process. So, but no, thanks very much.
From that perspective, you know, I would love to be able to do a body swap with the baby.
Yes.
Learning to walk and learning to experience that and go through that, because at that time in your life, that's your entire focus.
Yes.
To learn to walk. And as adults, when we are learning a new skill, we are not as single channel attention in terms of learning a new skill, because life gets in the way and we forget that. And even then, when you were above and you were learning to walk, it took you a few months of that single channel. That was the only thing you had to focus on, because all your other needs were being catered for by your parents or your caregivers.
Absolutely.
But as adults, we've got to do that as well.
Yes.
So
yes.
A spot of self-compassion doesn't go amiss.
Oh, well said. Well said. Well, something I know that you do a lot of, Wendy, networking. I network with a lot of professionals and semi-professionals, and I know firsthand from people sharing their experiences how terrifying it's been for people who, on the surface, and we just spoke about this, appear confident and poised in their traditional roles, but who've suffered tremendous anxiety as the reality sets in that imposed changes may cause them to earn less, lose clientele, amongst other things. But when the facts presented themselves that people's problems have in fact exacerbated, you know, your client, the people that you look after, their problems just don't go away because COVID came or something happened. So people's needs become exacerbated, and the need for the roles of those professionals have in fact been in greater demand. That the only difference now has been that the medium, as you said, we're all going online now. So I appreciate that for some people, you know, it's what's that that terminology where we're very hands-on. So that's just the role that you know, your particular service provides and your clients need. You know, your clients need it. Now, you've done some webinars now, and you alluded to it earlier, and networking has gone viral, and you touched on that. Can you see yourself and the ongoing process of adapting and adopting your newfound marketing and copywriting skills as you develop your business to the point where you can take your professional skills and become fully or at least predominantly online based and earn as much, if not more, than you might have otherwise had you just, you know, continued to in the traditional manner that you have?
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, one of the core of my message with regard to the external communication is around my seven pillars of influential communication. And what I've been doing with that is doing an overview with the a lead generation webinar. And it has been an overview. And then from there are hour-long deep dives into each of the pillars. Now, those then, because they've been recorded on Zoom, are building into an online video course. Which will be attached to my new website when it's launched, because I'm in the process of still creating.
Yes.
Oh, and I tell you what, if the gestation period of humans is 9 months, I think mine's more of an elephant. for an elephant's gestation, I think my website is taking elephantine proportions. So just hope that when it's launched, it has that magnitude.
Yes.
So yes, my point being then that the webinars are building into an online course.
Yes.
The online networking has been incredible because you are the third podcast that I have recorded in the last week.
Oh, splendid. Splendid.
And,
great to hear.
Thank you. So Mondays was one that was hosted by a gentleman in Sydney. And I have had a message from somebody in London who had listened to it to say, yes, please, I'd like some further information on what you do.
Yes.
And looking at his Facebook thing, we have somebody else in common that neither of us had any idea that the other knew. And how did you meet them? So I love the way this international networking gets going. And again, introduced through Carmel. I was speaking on an international summit a couple of weekends ago, albeit from 12:30 to 5:30.
Yes, I saw that.
I don't like doing that on a regular basis, but when needs must. So that sort of thing is opened up. I would never have envisaged that before.
Yeah.
But that's the joy of having this little box that we call the internet and being able to talk to people across the world. So it's incredible.
I know. I love hearing stories like that. You know, this is the last question, Wendy. I asked you on my podcast show because I began to realize that any change isn't without its challenges. And you've alluded to just some of those, you know, speak from your own personal experiences. And when I speak of challenges, I'm referring to the challenges of the mind as all of us adapt to change in ways of thinking and at the speed with which each of us can manage in our own personal ways, of course. And I know the Build Better Business Network, which you and I are members of, or were, it's had a name change. It's now changed to Exceptional Entrepreneurs. And that's run by Carmel Murphy. And you've been largely influenced and guided by the teachings that Carmel Murphy and Sarah Lucy Rose and, of course, Paul Counsel have created for all their students, all looking to take that leap from worker to business/entrepreneur. How has the content and the environment that you've experienced helped you in this very short but rather exciting journey of yours thus far?
I wouldn't have been exposed to the opportunities for necessarily the video marketing and the copywriting had I not been part of that group. Carmel, bless her, had a really good prod at me. It was tough love before the end of last year. And she said, well, look, she knew that my word for the year was explosion.
Okay.
And the explosion came in the shape of podcast listeners. I'm holding up a bottle of Prosecco, just a small one, but nonetheless a bottle. So the explosion was coming from the cork coming out.
Yes.
Okay. And it was the beginning of November, and Carmel said, how's the explosion going? I haven't built up the head of pressure yet.
Yes.
So that's when she said, so come on, what are you going to do about it? So, and that was in the group, and everybody was so supportive, great cheerleaders going on around me. And that's what prompted me to get my first lead generation webinar up and out, and yeah, the follow-up in the first few days of the new year.
Yes.
So I have really benefited from the camaraderie. And as Carmel said last night, the wisdom is in the room. It's not all from Carmel and Sarah.
Absolutely, yes.
And they're the first to admit this. So yes, I'm not saying anything out of turn. Because we're all coming at this with different skills, yes, somebody brings something to the table with a question, as you yourself did last night, and somebody in the group will say, I know about that, or if I don't, I can find out.
Yeah.
So I think that sort of it's a cliche, like-minded people, they are and they're not, because we all come with different skills and we all stretch. And we all want to stretch. And none of us are coming at this with, oh, well, this is me and this is who I am and this is where I'm staying.
Yes.
Because we all know that kind of mindset, and that really is a mindset, is not going to get any of us to handle and to navigate the challenges, as you say. And again, that all comes down, from my perspective, to the words we're using in our heads.
Yes. No, absolutely. And I think it's so critical to appreciate that everybody's on their own journey. Everybody's got different experiences, life experiences. Everyone from a professional standpoint come from different industries. But ultimately, everybody wants to succeed. And I use that term rather loosely, because it's defined by what you obviously mean by success in your own mind. And that's critical. I brought you on this podcast because you were one of the students that I think that you exemplified learning and then applying the learning, you know, because certain things were more important for you than others might be, and so forth. And I was pretty pleased. And then when I saw you started to launch your first webinars just before Christmas, I thought, wow, okay, I better pull up my bootstraps here. And that's why. And so I'm all about supporting other people, professional or otherwise, because you don't have to be a professional. I think a lot of people are looking at their economic circumstances now and realizing, you know, I need a real change. I need to change my image of who I think I am. And sometimes there's nothing like, the impending doom to really get you thinking about those things that you've been putting off. So, you know, very much the case. Now, Wendy, as a gift to you, for someone listening to this podcast, how can they get in touch with you directly if they want to pursue something that you've mentioned, perhaps some of your professional services? Please, is there a preference, Facebook, an email? Please, let loose.
Absolutely. I have a Facebook page, which is ComCoach. And I'm sure you'll be popping these in the chat.
I will. I most certainly will do. Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
I have a LinkedIn profile. You can contact me through LinkedIn. There will be a website. Not quite yet. We're not quite even 2 centimeters dilated in the birth canal. We're getting there slowly.
We're getting there.
And I'm more than happy to jump on a call with somebody. I'm happily with ZoomLink. The other thing is, in terms of email address, probably the best one to get hold of me on is comcoach@corner.net.au. But again,
absolutely,
Justin, you will have that in the show notes, I have no doubt.
No doubt, absolutely. And I'll hit you up if anything's missing, and I'll put that there. And look, Wendy, thank you very much. I want to thank Wendy Corner for her time and for sharing her experiences. The word success is so commonplace that it's become cliche, a rather vague, even abstract term, because it means different things to different people. But it's in fact a noun and denotes the accomplishment of an aim or a purpose. It leaves a void for many, primarily because we've allowed other people to define what success should mean. And we, by and large, have always accepted society's ideas of success, and we've adopted those societal and unconscious agreements or norms as being the parameters by which we should gauge whether or not we are successful. So where I, whenever I can, I encourage people to consider the notion of quote-unquote successing, to make a noun and turn it into a verb so that success can be viewed as a doing word. Successing is a series of actions or steps in order to achieve an aim or purpose. To my way of thinking, it helps you gather momentum, implying that you can give meaning to your progress, knowing that your journey, as long as you're consistent, is more important than the desired outcome. Even if you achieve your intended outcome, you know that having achieved what you set your mind to, not to rest on your laurels, but to continue on with something else once you've achieved what it is you set your mind to. So from Wendy Corner and myself, please buy from us.
Thanks for listening to the Money and Time Machine podcast. And remember, you're either someone else's version of a money and time machine, or you can learn how to become your very own effective money and time machine and to live with purpose on purpose.